Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and for his words which point to his reality. We pray that you would give us grace this morning to hear them and to receive them. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Well, over the past few weeks, I've been involved in running some seminars for local churches in the area about how the national census data relates to their communities. We had a bit of a look at such information at Tuesday at 10 a few weeks ago. Carefully analysed figures are now available, which reveal, for example, age profiles for an area, rates of unemployment, and the needs of pensioners. Better understanding our communities can help churches work out how to serve local people, loving our neighbours, and how better to engage them with the good news of Jesus. Well, the census interestingly reveals something of the different felt needs that there are in any particular community. Financial concerns, health, loneliness, children's issues, and so on. Working out how such needs can be met is a challenge for many, including local churches. Well, as we come to the next part of John's Gospel in our sermon series, we find Jesus using his characteristic opening, "Truly, truly, I say to you," to underline that though he is far from indifferent to physical and material needs, there is an even more important need of humanity. That is a spiritual need, and that need can be met in him. Well, do turn to John chapter 6, it's page 1075. The last week we looked at Jesus' teaching about eternal life just after healing a disabled man. And Jesus promises, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Well, following his authoritative teaching in Jerusalem, Jesus returns to his home area in the Galilee region. And Jesus is then involved in performing one of his most famous signs, that is a miracle with a message. And he feeds 5,000 men and their families when they had only a very small amount of food between them to start with. This miraculous sign involving bread and feeding provokes some very important words of Jesus, where he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," four times. Well, we see, firstly then, that there is a deep human need to be met. Back in 2010, the Prime Minister launched a research project looking into what people think is most important in life. He said it was the business of government to understand well-being. Well, findings based on 165,000 UK households showed that the things people find most important in life here in the UK are first, good health, second, suitable employment, with good relationships coming third. Well, these responses are in many ways understandable, though there may be a few surprises there. But it would seem that Jesus, who is interested in all things, would tell us there's something even more important. After performing the sign of feeding of the 5,000, Jesus found some people came to him and asked him, verse 25, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Now Jesus replies with his first "truly, truly" saying of the section, emphasizing this is something very important to understand. Verse 26, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." You see, the people, like many around us today, were only able to appreciate what they could see with their physical eyes or touch with their physical hands. Their horizon was purely this worldly. We might say they had a merely secular perspective. Well, the same thing can be said when we see Jesus interacting with the folks a little bit later. Some of the people say, verse 42, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he make these sort of claims?" See, the people can only get their heads around Jesus being the local carpenter's boy, not that he was talking about the most important things in life. So what was it that they couldn't grasp? What was Jesus actually saying? Well, having exposed the motives of the local people and their superficial assessment about mere physical food, Jesus says, verse 27, "Do not labour for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." There is a greater need than just fuel for the body, which is eaten and then passes through you. There is a sort of sustenance that we need that leads to eternal life, life sharing the life of God forever, as we heard Jesus speak about last week in chapter 5. Now, as we read on, we find Jesus speaking of hunger that needs to be satisfied, of thirst that requires quenching, and death that needs to be overcome. The vital needs of humanity. So where is such food that endures to eternal life to be found? Well, that brings us to our second point, that Jesus can meet the deepest human need. The people press Jesus on what he means, and they ask for evidence. Verse 30, so they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" Ironically, blind to the fact that they had just received the powerful sign of the feeding of the 5,000. They remind Jesus of the feeding of the people of Israel when God provided manna, as we read about in the book of Exodus. And this leads Jesus to give his second truly, truly saying. Verse 32, Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." See, the food that satisfies the hunger of the Old Testament people all those years before, sometimes referred to as the bread from heaven, that was not really from Moses, their esteemed leader. In reality, it was from the God of heaven himself. And what's more, the miraculous provision of God was merely a pointer, a foreshadowing of a greater provision that God was going to give to them. Jesus then makes an extraordinary claim. There is a bread that makes the miraculous provision of manna in the Old Testament seem ordinary. There is a bread that makes the multiplying of the loaves that they've just witnessed seem unremarkable. Verse 32, "My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And Jesus continues with one of his most famous promises, verse 35. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus himself is the provision of our greatest need. You see, the manna may have fallen down like snow from the skies to meet the need of empty stomachs. But Jesus has come down from the presence of God in heaven to meet the need of empty souls. Jesus, the eternal Word, become human, is the bread of life. The one who provides to such an extent that spiritual hungering can be satisfied. Jesus, God the Son, equal with God the Father and given life by him, gives life to others so that their thirsting for meaning and purpose can be met. Now, what God makes available in Jesus brings life, but not merely the enhancement of life now, also life that will last forever. So a little later, Jesus says, verse 48, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Well, Jesus explains that this life is not an eternal existence on a cloud strumming a harp. Now, as he puts it in verse 54, "Those who are given eternal life will be raised up at the last day, as he will be raised up. And they will be raised up with renewed bodies, to be amongst a renewed community in a renewed earth that we usually call heaven. So you see, only in and through Jesus is the promise of life fulfilled. Only in Jesus are human spiritual needs provided for. Jesus uniquely is the bread who has come down from heaven. No one else can say that is true of them. What we most need is not available from within, as modern secularists or New Age mystics would say. It is not available from Muhammad or Buddha or Vishnu for that matter either. This is a unique offer from the unique one. So what we have is a great reminder of the sufficiency of Jesus. If life and the answer to spiritual hungering and thirsting are in him, why look anywhere else? If the promise of being raised to eternal life is through Jesus, why go anywhere else? And as we continue in a broken world to feel a sense of hunger and thirst, a satisfaction and a desire for more, there is only one place to go for refreshment, and that is to this same Jesus, who is the bread of life. But there's one other thing to recognize, and that is that to see Jesus, to appreciate what it means to have our needs met, requires a personal response. I wonder if you've ever had that experience where you found something in a shop and you think, this is such an amazing product and at such a remarkably reasonable price. Why doesn't everyone buy it? And yet for some reason they don't. Well, so much of what is promised in Jesus' words of truth here are things that surely any human being would want. Jesus diagnoses our human needs like the most insightful and caring psychologist, doctor, or counselor. And yet not everyone benefits from his promise. Well, why is that? Well, there's a word that crops up several times as we listen into Jesus' interaction with these weekly worshippers in his hometown. Verse 29, Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Verse 40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." See, Jesus is making an offer to meet our deepest needs. He is making a promise, but there is a condition. There needs to be belief in him to recognize his claims and his works and agree that they are true. And yet this is more than just agreeing with our minds. The last part of our reading has Jesus using language that caused deep offense and which could appear rather distasteful, but which he uses to help us to see what it means to believe in him so he can address our needs. And it is the final truly, truly saying in the section. Verse 53, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.'" Now to us, reading these words after the Last Supper and centuries of Christian tradition, we can't help but think of what we usually call Holy Communion and assume that Jesus is talking about the bread and the wine that we share together. But of course, those who first heard these words of Jesus wouldn't have had any idea at all about Holy Communion. So what is the essence of what they took to be a strange message about eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood? Well, to eat and drink involves a personal taking to yourself of the food that is on offer to you on the table. You might be hungry and you might have a meal available, but unless you pick up your knife and fork and start to put the food into your mouth and swallow it, your body will not benefit from it. You might be thirsty and have a drink available, but unless you put the cup to your mouth and swallow, your body will still feel dehydrated. So Jesus seems to be saying, using this kind of language, he's speaking about personally responding to the offer that he makes. We need to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. We need to believe ourselves in what he has done in his death on the cross. After all, Jesus says in verse 51, the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And we need to recognize who he truly is as one with the Father who overcomes death and humbly come to him, turning to him and giving ourselves to him, knowing that he has given himself for us. Is it possible to know about Jesus, even agree he is special, but not to commit to him, not to receive from him? So there is a challenge as we hear these words of Jesus. Nothing could be more important. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Everyone needs to believe in Jesus to receive what he offers. We need to eat and drink. And yet Jesus also reveals a secret in his conversation with these people that is a great comfort and cause for humility for those who have come to believe in him, those who have come to him and looked on the Son in faith, those who have fed on Jesus' flesh and drunk of his blood. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And verse 44, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You see, we only believe because God has first drawn us to his Son and to himself. We only come to Jesus and are enabled to personally respond because God, in his great love, has put his hand on us first. We can never understand why he loves us in such a way, but we need to hold on to that truth that he is holding on to us and has called us in the first place. He never drives us away and will keep us to the end. And then when we know these things, that makes sense of the times that we have to take the physical bread and the physical wine in Holy Communion. And it gives us the opportunity to be regularly reminded of these profound truths. As we dwell on Jesus' promise, we can continue to be fed by him and strengthened by him. Well, there are many needs in our world, even in a relatively prosperous country like ours, as the national census figures show us. But there are needs that we human beings have that are even more important than those revealed by statistics and demographics. Needs only Jesus can address when we believe in him. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus and the reality that they point to. We pray that you would give us grace to have open hearts, that you might feed us and strengthen us, and that we might take great encouragement from the reality that you draw us to yourself through your Son. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.